brought to you by Penguin.
The Railway Girls in Love by Maisie Thomas. Read by Julia Franklin.
Chapter 1. February 1939. With her gloved hands thrust into the big patch pockets of her rust-coloured wool coat, and her scarf wound snugly around her neck and tucked in beneath the wide lapels, Mabel Bradshaw tramped along, lifting her feet clear of the thick snow, so as not to let it spill over the tops of her calf-high galoshes. The benefit of wearing two pairs of thick socks over her stockings wouldn't last long if they got wet. Beside her, Althea, her best friend, matched her pace.
"Your cheeks are glowing," said Mabel.
"Which is a polite way of saying they're bright red," said Althea, "and so's my nose."
"Mine too."
"What would your mother say?" teased Althea. Mabel laughed. Mumsy lived and breathed etiquette. "But just think how pale and interesting I'll look when I've thawed out."
She snuggled her hands deeper inside her pockets. Only up here, on the tops, could she get away with such slovenly behaviour. The two of them crunched through the snow to the edge of the steep hill above Mabel's home and looked down into the long valley below. Behind them stretched the Lancashire moors. Usually the breeze here was so full of brisk smells that Mabel could practically taste them as a rich, earthy, green concoction. But not today. Today, as for the past month, the moors had been coated in snow, and the air was as fresh as peppermint. Below lay the town of Annaby. It was still called a market town, but it had its share of factories too, as well as a railway station. Mabel's gaze was drawn to the building that housed Bradshaw's ball bearings and other small components, the factory that represented her father's life's work. The son of a railway worker, he had made good, and more than good. He had prospered to the extent of purchasing, note purchasing, not renting, Kirkland House, one of the town's poshest properties, high up on the side of the hill. It was here that Mabel had grown up. Now she looked down at Bradshaw's ball bearings. Would their factory still be producing small components this time next year? Pop said that when the war came, when, not if, and Mabel had trembled inwardly, factories up and down the country would be called upon to turn over production to whatever they were told to make to help win the war. Mabel had longed to ask a dozen questions, but couldn't, because Pops hadn't been talking to her. It was something she had overheard. "Here comes a train," said Althea. Mabel felt a burst of pleasure. She liked trains. They made her think of Grandad. He might be gone, but he definitely wasn't forgotten. Especially not by her. His son might have risen in the world, but Grandad had stayed put in his cottage near the railway tracks and had never for a single moment considered leaving his job as a wheel tapper, using a long-handled hammer to tap train wheels, the quality of the ring that was produced, telling his experienced ear whether or not the wheel was in good order. Down on the valley floor, white clouds puffed out of the funnel on top of the front end of the locomotive, which pulled a line not of coaches, but of goods wagons. Some had names painted on the sides because they belonged to companies that use the railways all the time. At the rear came several unbranded wagons, their contents covered by tarpaulins.
"Do you suppose the train is bringing us our air raid shelters?" asked Mabel.
"Distribution is starting this month." "We won't get ours for ages yet," said Althea. "It'll be the cities that get them first, and ports, and places like that."
She almost made it sound as if Annaby would have no need of them. Mabel thought of Bradshaw's ball bearings and others.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?